There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
And you thought the only story in college football this week was going to be recruiting. Oh, heck no. It's College Football Live. Cole Kubelik, Tom Luganville, I'm Jason Fitz. Thanks for hanging out with us. The story that still got all of college football up in arms is the fact that Coach Mark D'Antonio has left Michigan State. Remember, 13 seasons at Michigan State, 6 10-win seasons under D'Antonio. Before we got there, Sparty only had 2 10-win seasons in program history. So the question is, who's going to be next? Well, Pat Narduzzi wanted nothing with the rumors.
The rumors, you know, squash them, whatever you want to call it. You know, that's why I said I got decisions to make, too, and I'm here at Pitt. And I want to be here at Pitt, and that's where I'm going to be. Pretty simple. I thought I answered it. Sorry, must have been confusing.
Pat Narduzzi is leaving nothing to interpretation there. So we're joined now by senior college sports reporter for Yahoo, Pete Thamel. Thank you so much for your time, Pete. We appreciate it. So who are some of the names that are floating around to replace Coach D'Antonio?
Jason, the clear front runner for the Michigan State job right now is Cincinnati coach Luke Fickell. Fickell's gone 22-5 his last 2 seasons at Cincinnati. He brings with him a strong relationship with Mark D'Antonio, whose departure agreement has said he's going to be around the athletic department. And he also brings extensive experience in both the Big Ten footprint and at Ohio State, where he obviously learned how to recruit in the Big Ten.
All right, Pete, the entire city of Cincinnati is now very mad at you because they thought they were going to keep their coach after a dream season. So when you look at the job for Cincinnati, how do they look to replace him?
Well, I think they'll start by taking a long look at Marcus Freeman, the 34-year-old defensive coordinator who played for Fickell at Ohio State and is one of the rising sharp young coaches in the country. Freeman was a big part of the historic recruiting class that Cincinnati pulled through this year, the highest in school history. And Freeman also has been the play caller for a defense that's finished in the top 25 the last 2 seasons. If new athletic director John Cunningham, who's only been there 6 weeks, decides to go with an outside candidate, I'd look at Jason Candle of Toledo or Sean Lewis from Kent State. Cunningham has experience with Sean Lewis. Lewis was the offensive coordinator at Syracuse, and Cunningham was part of the athletic department under Mark Coyle that hired Dino Babers. Cunningham has a very strong history as a deputy AD of hiring head coaches, Brian Harsin at Boise, Babers, and then P.J. Fleck at Minnesota. So he could go outside for a splash, but I think they'll take a long look inside at Freeman to start.
Pete Thamel, thank you so much for your time, Pete. We appreciate you joining us and with all your insight. Thanks so much. Have a great day. In the meantime, we're going to have this discussion here, guys, because this is a little bit shocking timing for a lot of people when you see a move happen at this point. So, Tom, what do you think of Fickell at Michigan State?
Well, I think you always have to ask the right questions. And having an established relationship like he's had with Mark D'Antonio, if there is interest and it's on both sides, he's got to find out what's going on within the university structure and if it's the good move and the right move. Because if he continues to have success, not that the Michigan State job is not a good job, it is a good job. You continue to have success, Cole, at Cincinnati, there might be a better job on the horizon a year, 2, 3 years down the road.
Luke Fickell's name was already mentioned this offseason for big jobs. Maybe not as big a job as Michigan State, but I think if we all compiled a list of give me 2, 3, 4 guys going into next season when this cycle happens again, and then it's going to happen again the next season, who are your top-tier guys who are going to be candidates for those jobs? Power 5 jobs, historic jobs, big jobs, premier jobs. Luke Fickell's going to be one of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be patient and you can wait, and there's a good chance that you're going to be at the top of the list for a lot of other schools that come up that may be better situation than Michigan State's going to be. I think the most intriguing part of this, and Tom mentioned the relationship between D'Antonio and Fickell, if you're Michigan State and you want to make this hire, that's the best news and the worst news for you. Because if Mark D'Antonio knows that something's coming down on the Spartans in the near future, he's going to let Luke Fickell know that.
Right.
If he thinks everything's going to be okay, he's going to be inside the athletic department collecting his $1 million each year, and he gets free tickets as well, then he can say, come on down, I'll help you, I'll hand this thing off, I can give you my blueprint that I've had for success for years. So for Michigan State and their standpoint, good news, bad news, that you have Mark D'Antoni in that relationship with Luke Fickell right there.
With the timing of all this, Cole, I think one of the most interesting things is building a staff. Now, Coach has been asked several times to change the staff with Sparty, and he didn't. You know, he just sort of moved some guys around, shuffled some things around. How can Fickell come in this late and still build a staff that can implement whatever he wants to run?
Well, there are three times in the calendar year, usually, that you see staff movement, not head coach. This is a very odd time for a head coach to step down, especially the day before signing day. It's usually right after the season. And obviously, we know some guys go during the season. It happens every now and then. But it's right after the season. It's right after the early signing day, Tom. Mm-hmm. And then it's right after the second signing day. Because most coaches want to keep those assistants around to keep recruiting the guys Absolutely. They're recruiting, get those letters of intent signed, and then you can go find a job somewhere else.
I tell you, and I agree with Pete Thamel on Marcus Freeman. We broadcasted the American Championship game with Cincinnati and Memphis. And sitting down in our coaches' meetings, that is one impressive individual. So they might, if this were to happen, Cincinnati might have their answer right down the hall.
I mean, Cincinnati as a program can sustain the loss of Coach Fickell?
Yeah, because I think you got a great fertile recruiting ground for the Group of Five level. They've invested in the sport of football. They've invested in facilities enhancements. And winning cures all woes. They're attractive, to Cole's point, not just from coach's perspective, from a player's perspective. If you're that tweener guy that maybe is not going to play at Ohio State, or maybe isn't going to play at Michigan, or isn't going to play at Georgia, you're looking at the Group of Five options. There's Boise. There's Cincinnati. All right. Arkansas State's done some nice things. We saw Louisiana. So it's a very attractive destination for players.
And I actually think some of the things that Tom just mentioned about the Group of Five for players, we're starting to see that happen with coaches. The salaries for some of these Group of Five schools, the facilities that are happening for these Group of Five schools, the amount of pressure that is taken away from you, the amount of media covering you on a daily basis, fans tweeting you on a daily basis, it's just an easier gig. And you don't have the pressure of guys behind the scenes saying, you're going to hire him as your running back coach.
Yeah.
Or you're going to hire him as your offensive coach.
Or you're going to recruit this guy. Why aren't you guys offering that four-star? Why aren't you offering that five-star?
You're with your guys. You've got your staff. No one's telling you what to do. You're not having to deal with boosters trying to push you this way, pull you that way. You legitimately run your program the way you want to run it the majority of the time at some of these Power 5 schools. And some of those jobs are becoming more attractive, not just than one or two Power 5 jobs, but maybe 8, 9, 10 Power 5 jobs.
Well, and look no further than the success and the eyeballs that Cincinnati, Memphis have been able to get and what it means for their programs and their advertising process. So, and, Cole, you've just made my job very easy. Speaking of money, Clemson Board of Trustees have approved a new 3-year, $5.1 million contract for Clemson offensive coordinator Tony Elliott Thursday, making him the highest paid offensive coordinator in the country. Elliott takes over the role full-time after sharing the position with Jeff Scott the last five seasons. Scott, now the head coach at USF. And let's be honest, I mean, they've never been shy about paying the guys that they want to get paid. So Dabo agreed to a 10-year, $93 million contract extension last April, making the highest paid coach in the country. Elliott, the nation's highest paid offensive coordinator. I mean, this is just, the rich get richer, and that's why they've been great. Speaking of great, signing day can either make or break you to be great. Find out who or what had new Mizzou coach Eli Drinkwitz so stinking excited, and rightfully so, by the way. And that is a fantastic reaction. And Saturday on ABC and the ESPN app, the XFL season kicks off at 2 Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, with head coach Jim Zorden leading the Seattle Dragons against former Ohio State quarterback Cardale Jones and the D.C. Defenders. You don't want to miss that. Tom Lugerville won't miss it, I promise you that.
Without further ado, in this continuation of the dream,
will be attending the University of...
is somebody that screams with a very high pitch. I appreciate the level of excitement there as we see Missouri coach Eli Drinkwitz just going nuts over National Signing Day. This is what it's all about, right? Everybody, the coaches invest so much to get there. But I've got some of the best college football minds here with me. I want to talk about some of the recruiting and what mm-hmm. we've seen. And I want to start with somebody that's actually, Tom, not signed, Jordan Birch. Now, Jordan Birch still unsigned. What are your thoughts?
I'm conflicted on it. I'm frustrated by it a little bit. I think we all are as fans of recruiting. If we cover recruiting, we're in an age where you've got an awful lot of time to make your decision, an awful lot of time to cover your bases, educate yourself on your options. This is a national recruit, a premier player at a high-profile position, very important for everybody who is seeking his services. But for you to have two press conferences, all right, to make two commitments, two announcements, and you're not turning in your level of intent, it's time to move on to the next deal. It's time to make the big boy decision. Get into your position with wherever you're going to attend and start that phase of your life, because there's been a lot of resources placed into this young man and his recruitment. And just what we saw with Eli Drinkwitz right there. Look how exuberant he was because of all the work that's gone in to get a guy, you know. And so I'd like to see this come to an end and Jordan be happy wherever he goes.
I agree with Tom in every point that he made, and you make good points. My only thing would be, I almost feel sorry for this young man a little bit, because there's obviously something happening that's not allowing him to go through this process exactly the way that he wants to. This should be the best day of his life.
Or just to make a choice.
Exactly. This should, you're 17 years old. How many other great days of your life have you had? And I think that this is a young man that going on to play college football has to be one of his lifetime dreams.
Sure.
And he can't make, there's no finality to that decision.
Right.
And whatever's happening behind the scenes sort of makes me feel sorry for him a little bit. I want him to be able to be happy and choose a school that's going to allow him to flourish as a college football player. I'd love to say you only get to make this decision once. Well, in today's college football, sometimes you make it two or three times, but
how do you as a staff then sort of walk the line? Because there is a human element of it. So what do you do if you're head coach and you can't get this commit, but you also want to be a human being to a kid?
Well, you want to continue to pursue him, particularly when he's a high-profile player at a premium position. You know, it's one thing if you're a wide receiver and you're one of 200 guys out there, all right? When you're a defensive lineman, those are few and far between, and that's the difference between the good and the great in major college football. And if you're Will Muschamp right now at South Carolina, or you're Ed Orgeron at LSU, you're going to go the extra mile because of the position the kid plays and what you've invested in him. This kid's, what, 10 minutes away from Columbia, South Carolina?
Will Muschamp has two kids that are his teammates
that are his
in
teammates.
High school, at Hammond School.
Yeah, and you know what? All of this has done too, Fitz, is there's already enough pressure on these guys to perform once they get to the next level. Now all you've done is add extra bust factor, because if he doesn't pan out, it just magnifies all of this and makes it worse than it needs to be.
This is what he'll be remembered for if he doesn't turn out to be an elite college football player, or if he were to ever make some mistake as a college football
player.
That's
a shame.
Everyone's going to go back to this, and that's not right for Jordan Birch.
100%. I want to put a quick bow on that and say, remember, this is a kid, right?
Yep.
And so we're going to use this. If he isn't great, we're going to use this as some indication. This is a kid making the biggest decision of his life. That's all I'm saying. Now, recruiting, let's stick in the SEC. There's a little bit of, let's say, hyperbole that comes out afterwards. The Vols, they felt good about their Tennessee Volunteers recruiting class. I would say possibly Philip Fulmer felt spectacular about their recruiting class. This is what Fulmer had to say about the Vols.
The Vols are back. And before long, we'll be taking a bite out of everybody we play's ass. Thank you very much.
Now, I'm not sure what else Phil Fulmer is allowed to say, but Cole.
Excuse me? You guys are going to talk about Tennessee being back. I'm going to talk about how when you're a football player, first off, physically, it's almost impossible to bite another player's rear end. You got a mouthpiece in. You got a face mask in front of you. How do you even do that? I don't know. And listen, I played a lot of football, Tom. I've been in a lot of pregame speeches, a lot of halftime speeches. Not one time was I motivated by a guy that said, we're going to go out there and bite somebody else's butt. That's not something that happens. That's not motivating me to go do things. Now, is Tennessee back? No, they're not back. But I will tell you this. Jeremy Pruitt will get Tennessee back. You could argue Jeremy Pruitt has the best staff in the SEC. They already got Trey Smith back, the best offensive lineman returning in college football, maybe not named Penei Sewell.
Yep.
They got Brandon Kennedy back as a six-year player at center. The offensive line is going to be okay. If Jarrett Garantano can figure out how to not throw the football to the other team, there's a lot good about Tennessee coming back next year. A lot to be excited about. Jeremy has it trending up, but back, not quite yet.
It's too early. You either got to beat a Georgia or you got to beat a Florida, split them. Or beat both of them, and all of a sudden,
Bama's on that schedule every year.
Yeah, Bama's on the schedule every year. Eclipse the 8-win mark during the regular season, and now all of a sudden you're showing steady progress, right? And that's when you start making those comments where you have off-season conversation about, All right, now this is a different Tennessee team. Are we there? Listen, I had the BYU game where they lost in double overtime. I was standing on the sideline. That team was in total and complete disarray. The job Jeremy Pruitt has done to resurrect that thing and not let it go the direction, let's say, Arkansas went, because it could have, but he didn't do it. And those kids responded, and they played their tail off at the end of the year.
Well, and it's a great point, not even from when he arrived until the bowl game this year, but like Luganville said, from week three or four to week six or seven, they completely turned around. They lost to Florida and Gainesville, an early kick. They flew back. Jeremy Pruitt said, we got to have a team meeting. Him and his players, there were no assistants, there was no staff in there. Jeremy Pruitt sat down with his players, and he said, this is what I think you need to do to go win games. This is what you have to do to go win games. I want you to tell me what I have to do to help you win games. And they had it out, and they hashed it out right there. A couple guys decided to leave the team. That was the turning point.
That's fine, though. That's fine.
I will say this. I lived in Nashville for 20 years that anyone doesn't know. That's the thick of Vols country, right? The best thing that they did this year is they were patient. They let it get to that second level. Mm-hmm. They need to now be patient at the second level and say, this is a gradual process.
Right.
To get back will take time. So I'm with you. I think they are on the right path.
Yes.
But they're far from back to whatever we're used to. Now, what we do know is, speaking of the SEC, the Lane Train's latest stop is in Oxford. We're going to catch up with new Ole Miss head coach Lane Kiffin. Going to do that next. College Football Live. And UFC 247 pay-per-view exclusively on ESPN+. Oh, it's going to be a good one. John Jones versus Dominic Reyes. Going to be a heck of a fight. You don't want to miss it. To order the main card in English and Spanish, go to ESPNplus.com/PPV starting at 8 Eastern. It was a tough 2019 in Oxford. The Rebels went 4-8, 2-6 in SEC play. They lost five of their last six games of the season, and of course they went 0-5 on the road. But it wasn't all bad thanks to the emergence of John Rhys Plumlee. He took over at quarterback in late September, showed off his wheels for the rest of the year. Over 1,000 yards rushing in his debut season, but Ole Miss finished 102nd in the nation in pass attempts, pass yards per game. But there are some bright spots. Hotty Toddy Faithful are hopeful, and that comes in the form of Lane Kiffin. He's coming off of a Conference USA title, his second in three seasons at Florida Atlantic. And more importantly, he's joining us right now on College Football Live. Coach, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. Now, you got a late start on recruiting when you take this. So what was your biggest challenge getting into recruiting season?
Well, I think the early signing day, this is different than, you know, taking over at the other three spots, you know, Tennessee, USC, FAU, because we didn't have it yet. So I think the first year is really rough on first-year coaches now, because you get a job and in a week or two, you know, 75% of the kids are already signing. So I think that makes it a lot more challenging than it used to be, where you had, you know, a month or two to put together a class. So, you know, we got some really good kids. We did not reach. We undersigned by a lot to leave us some room, because we think having a year together here with this staff and coming together, that we'll be able to go sign a great class that will be really good and really deep.
No, Coach, you mentioned withholding some scholarships, and of course we're in this age now of the transfer portal where you're having to massage and manage your own roster, and then you're also monitoring what's going on across the landscape of college football. You've got the spring period, you've got summer coming up. How have you chosen to maybe implement the transfer portal as part of your recruiting efforts going forward, now that it's the norm and it seems to be here to stay?
Yeah, Tom, it's really college football roster management has now turned into the NFL to me. You know, just like the NFL, you got restricted free agents, free agency, you got the draft, you got veterans, younger guys, and now it used to just be you had high school and a few junior college guys. Now you got high school, you got junior college, you've got portal guys, some that can play now, some that can sit, and you got grad transfers. And, you know, it's happening throughout the year. It's not even just a small window. You know, every day you read about someone going to the portal. So that's part of saving spots, too. You know, so we have the ability to go get guys and add them in certain places, kind of like free agency.
Coach Kiffin, thinking of NFL and college football sort of morphing, we're seeing more and more of the quarterback mobility game really take off in the NFL, especially with what Lamar Jackson did this year. You have a guy already on your roster that you didn't have to recruit out of high school in John Rhys Plumlee that really lit up the SEC with his legs a season ago. Based on what you've already seen studying him on film, how do you plan on retooling your offense a little bit to take advantage of his skill set?
Well, I think we've done a good job wherever we've been of fitting our offense around our players and specifically our quarterbacks. You know, the last 6 years, we've had five different starting quarterbacks between Alabama and FAU, and those five guys won conference championships. So John had a great first year. You know, once he got in there playing, you know, dynamic athlete. He's actually on our baseball team right now, which speaks a lot. And to be able to make those plays and play like he did against LSU as a true freshman in the SEC is really amazing.
All right, Coach, everybody's asking all these serious questions. Fine. The Egg Bowl this year, I mean, we got you, we got Mike Leach, we got two of the best quote machines in all of college football. So two things here. One, you got a little bored, like, are you keeping any quotes ready for the Egg Bowl week? And number two, I want to give you some floor here if you want to maybe start a little shade and you know, start a little, add your flavor to the rivalry.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about saving stuff for that. I'm not a very patient person, so as you can tell from Twitter, I don't have enough patience to wait 10 seconds before I tweet something, let alone wait 6-8 months, whatever it is, for a game.
Will that change for you at Ole Miss? I mean, your Twitter approach is sort of different than many coaches. Does that become part of how you still continue to build yourself?
Well, you know, what I know is, you know, when we go into homes, parents, kids, or they come on visit, one of the first things they say is, we love your Twitter. We love following Twitter. We feel like we know you already, even though we've never met you. Well, that's pretty powerful to me. And so, you know, I think it's a great tool to connect people, and they feel like they're closer to you. And our fans love it, too. I don't take it too serious, as you can see. I think too many people do and think, well, you're supposed to be an SEC head coach. You can't have a sense of humor. You can't, you know, be a normal person. So it is what it is. I think it's a valuable tool in recruiting and for our fans. They sure enjoy it.
Coach, for those of us that get to talk about college football, we appreciate it, too, because it constantly gives us something to talk about. We appreciate your time. Thank you so much. We appreciate you hanging out with us. Best of luck this season, Coach.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend. Thanks.
If there's anything I know, none of us on Twitter is as awesome as Coach Kiffin. I'm just saying. That's it for us right here on College Football Live. Cole Kubelik, Tom Lugamon. By the way, shout out to those boots. Those are spectacular.
You like the pythons?
Oh, man, that's good work. I'm Jason Fitz. Be sure to come back tomorrow. Check us out. Thanks so much.